Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're going to be looking at two important verses out of the Scripture, John 1 and Titus 2:13. We're going to be focusing on how Jehovah's Witnesses have distorted these two verses, which clearly teach the deity of Jesus Christ. John 1:1 simply reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know that John is referring to Jesus when he mentions the term Word. And that's because in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So it's clear that here we have the Word being referred to as God, which is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Now, most of you probably know that Jehovah's Witnesses distort this verse, and in their translation, or I should say their mistranslation, they translate it this way: "In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." I want to examine that last phrase over the next several broadcasts, and then looking at also Titus 2:13, the phrase that the Word was a God. It makes quite a difference in translating or adding one simple letter, the letter A, in front of God. And actually, that one simple letter is so important that it actually determines someone's eternal destiny. Either they worship and receive the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, or they reject him and they're actually following another Jesus. And if they die in that state, they'll die in their sins and then be accountable for that and be separated from God throughout all eternity. So, important verse of Scripture. And in our program today, I want to offer you six lines of proof as to why this is the accurate translation, that the Word was God. Then examine it further in a couple other broadcasts. First of all, every significant translation of the Bible translates John 1:1, "And the Word was God." Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have found some translations, very insignificant ones that have not had an impact on the church at all, that have translated "the Word was a God," but they're extremely few in number, as well as they have not been received by the church in general. For example, in today's society, the New American Standard, the King James, the New King James, the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, all works like that that the church uses today, translate the phrase, "And the Word was God." And those who have translated these scriptures into English for us are well-educated individuals in relationship to the biblical languages, both Hebrew and Greek and in Aramaic in the portion of Daniel, and have labored to give us as accurate as possible a translation in the New Testament from Greek into English. So first of all, every significant translation uses a phrase, "The Word was God." Second of all, it's very simple to disprove the Jehovah's Witness translation is just by quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, which says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Because if the Jehovah's Witness translation is true, then we have two gods, a big God and a little God here in John 1:1. And that's what Jehovah's Witnesses will say, that you have Jehovah God, who is Almighty God, and then you have Jesus, who is only a mighty God. Well, it's simple to refute, and looking at that, what they're saying is that there is another God other than Jehovah God, and that is Jesus. He is God or God-like. He is a God in a sense. But the scriptures here tell us, "You shall have no other gods before me." Third, looking at their own translation of John chapter 1 and verse 18, and I'm holding in my hands right now and directly reading from the Kingdom Interlinear translation of the Greek scriptures. It's an older interlinear, it's purple, and a buddy of mine called it the Purple People Eater because it's destroyed many people's lives. But in John chapter 1, verse 18, their English translation is this: "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom, position with the Father, is the one that has explained him." Now, it is interesting that in verse 18, some translations have "the only begotten Son," but more manuscripts actually support the reading, "the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father." And in the Jehovah's Witnesses interlinear, they include the term God. Now, the reason this is important is because their great contention from John 1:1, where it's translated "the Word was God," is that the term theos, and that's the Greek term for God, does not have the definite article in front of it. And that's why they translate it a God. The definite article would be our word, the. It makes it very specific, this God or the God. And it is true in John 1:1, the term theos here in the last phrase does not have the definite article in front of it. But I will explain the reason the definite article is not in front of the term theos. Now, that is their justification for translating the phrase, "and the Word was a God." Now, in John chapter 1 and verse 18, in their interlinear, which is accurate, it has the term monogenes theos. Monogenes is the term we've translated "only begotten," and theos is the term God. And here in verse 18, the Greek text does not have the article in front of theos, so once again they translate the term God with a small g. But interesting enough, at the beginning of John chapter 1 and verse 18, it starts with the word God in the Greek text, the term theon. That's another form of theos, meaning God. It does not have the article, but yet they do not translate it as no man has seen a God at any time. They translate it as no man has seen God at any time. So what they do is they pick and choose based on their theology on how to translate the Greek text. That obviously shows you their bias towards trying to disprove the deity of Christ. They're not consistent. So that's the third argument, that in John chapter 1, verse 18, the term God does not have the article, but yet they do not translate it a God as they did in John chapter 1, verse 1. Fourth, I'd like to also point out in three other places in John chapter 1, the term theos, or a form of it, appears in this section without the article, yet they do not translate the phrase a God. They translate it with the capital G. And that is found in verse 6, verse 12, and verse 13. And once again, I'll read from their own translation of their own interlinear. And in verse 6, it's translated this way. There arose a man that was sent forth as a representative of God. And once again, in verse 6 here, it does not have the definite article, just like it doesn't in verse 1 yet. They do not translate it. There was a man sent forth as a representative of a God. Then moving also over into verse 12, once again, from their own translation, it reads, however, as many as did receive him, to them he gave authority to become God's children because they were exercising faith in his name. So once again, this term God in verse 12 does not have the definite article, and yet they do not insert the word a. Also in verse 13, their translation reads, and they were born not from blood or from a fleshly will or from man's will, but from God. And that's again a form of the term theos. It's here theou, and it does not have the definite article in front of it. But once again, they don't insert the letter a at verse 13. They don't translate it or from a fleshly will or from man's will, but from a God. They translate it from God. So even in their own translation, they show their bias and their inconsistencies. So that should clearly indicate to us that their translation of John 1:1, that there is something wrong with it. The fifth point I'd like to address in relationship to their translation is actually, it's extremely important that in the last phrase in John 1:1, which is translated, the word was God, that the article be not there. Because as you read simply the English, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And so here it shows that you have the word who is with God. You have two personalities there, or two beings that are there. The word was with God. And then when it drops the article in the last phrase, and the word was God, it's making a distinction between God and the word. See, if the definite article was there in this last translation before the term theos, what John would be saying then is the word was exactly equal and was the same as, with absolutely no distinction between God. And that's not what the biblical message is. The message is that Jesus is fully God, but yet he's also distinct from the Father. He is with the Father. He's the second person of the Trinity. Then the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So grammatically, the article needed to be dropped to show that there is a distinction between the Word and God. Now, I know a lot of this may be technical for you, but I believe it would be to your advantage to study this out. Don't be afraid of some of the more technical issues in relationship to Bible translation or in relationship to the Word of God and dealing with the cults. You could simply get out your own scriptures and mark in verse 6, verse 12, verse 13, as well as twice in verse 18, that the term there is the word God without the article, but yet it's not translated a God. And you could point that out to a Jehovah's Witness that would come your way. But also it's important to realize as we're looking at this is that the reason the definite article, the word the, was dropped at this last phrase is to show that the Logos was not the Father. Because if he was saying the Logos was the God that he was just talking about, then he would have been saying that Jesus is the Father. And that's a false doctrine. And six, simply to point out, just a simple translation, and the Word was with God. That is showing a distinction. John's trying to bring a distinction out between the Word and God, or we would say between the Son and the Father. So the Word was with God, but at the same time, he was God. All that the Father possessed as being God in his essence and his being, the Word also possessed. Then ultimately, the Word came down here and took on flesh and became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That's why Jesus was able to say in John chapter 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So it's clear grammatically that John 1:1 clearly points and proves that Jesus Christ is God. I'd like to recommend a book to you if you'd like to do a little more personal study on this, and that is Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses by Ron Rhodes. One of the best works out today in specifically dealing with the Jehovah's Witnesses.